This Week in Free Energy.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Welcome to Free Energy Now. I'm your host, Sterling Allen of PES Network. You can join us every day at freeenergynews.com for cutting-edge energy technologies from around the world. Our guest today is Angelo Di Pietro of Engineer in Australia. Angelo, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Now, we actually did a pre-record a couple months ago, and unfortunately, that got lost somewhere. So this is
the second time
around. I appreciate your patience with us. We do plan on putting this on the air on November 25th, 2006.
Okay, 26, you say, yeah?
Actually, it'd be the 25th.
Okay.
This coming Saturday. And this is a pre-record as well. We want to give you a chance to be able to review this. You're a public company, so you've got to make sure what you're saying is okay with your the powers that be in your company.
Sorry, it's a private company. Just want to get that correct.
Okay, thank you.
Provide limited, yeah.
But you are wanting to make sure that what you're stating is accurate and is copacetic with the other players in your company, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Now, you have a technology where I remember seeing a video of this at the Conference on Future Energy in Washington, D.C. Tom Ballone showed you, or somebody in the video, I think it was you, holding this engine in your hands that had as much power as an automobile engine.
The engine can be even smaller than the one I was showing in that special occasion. And the power can be greater because, we can actually regulate the power just by increasing the pressure and the volume of it. In that occasion where you saw that small motor, we also were driving a vehicle, a red vehicle. Now, the pressure that we were using to drive that vehicle was something around 10-15 PSI to about 60 PSI. Now, if you consider the internal combustion engine, the pressure is somewhere around 600 PSI in there. So we got plenty of room there to increase the power of the engine if it's needed, and especially in takeoff.
So you're using compressed air rather than petrol.
Rather than petrol.
Using the combustion of fuel, you're using pressurized air, which could be pressurized through renewable sources, wind, solar, and other clean energy.
Exactly.
You have a pressurized tank on board that then runs your engine.
In fact, even better than that, if we increase the scale of our motor, we can actually generate the compressed air by using our motor instead of using the turbine, which is a lot less efficient.
Now, I didn't catch those words you said. You could use which?
Turbine. Have a look at the power
turbine.
Station.
Uh-huh.
The power station, they're using steam as gas to turn the turbine, which the turbine then turns the generator, and we get our electricity.
Right.
Now, if we were to using our motor instead of the turbine, we can develop a lot of extra electricity because our motor is much more efficient than the turbine. So by using solar power, it really makes sense to use our motor because we will develop much more energy that it can be currently generated with anything else.
So you can also use steam as the input and compressed air?
Any fluid, yes.
Any fluid, gas, or liquid?
That's all right, yes.
Okay.
Liquid will slow things down. For example, if we are driving a vehicle, it's really some RPM also that we need there. Otherwise, we will have to gear it up in order to get the speed desired. Well, With the air, things are moving very fast. So, you can get a reasonable speed. Well, in fact, you can get any speed. 10 psi introduced into this model, we get around 1500 RPM on free speed. So, what I mean by that is you got the torque and you got the RPM, so the engine can be connected straight to the wheel without having any gears in between. Now, just by accelerating, you increase the RPM and you get your speed. But at the start, the interesting about this model is that at the very start, the torque is at maximum, and that is when you need the torque, at the start. And then the torque comes down as you get the speed, exactly the way it should be.
Okay. And so you're saying that there would be no need for transmission in a vehicle using this engine.
There is. In fact, the vehicle that you saw in that special episode has no gearbox. It's directly drive from the accelerator to the engine, from the engine to the wheel.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm.
Now I actually make a couple notes over here, so I will remember to tell you about. And it says our engine converts energy into work at a very high efficiency. This is achieved with simplicity, cost saving to manufacturer and end user. It is light, it's compact, it's elegant, high torque, and smooth control. Comparison shows our model 7 times smaller than current air piston models. Clearly indicates that with the material currently used to build one model, we can build 7, develop much more power, and use considerable less energy. This means smaller compressor is needed and less electricity usage, saving material for the manufacture of the compressor also, because this model can be applied into a stationary application also, considering that in manufacturing plants, the use of compressed air to drive equipment typically represents some 30% of the total plant energy consumption. Our model has the potential for a major contribution to our environment. And then, of course, you got the mobile application. Mobile application compressed air model in mobile application can power golf cars, motor scooters, cars, boats, and many other vehicles.
Highly suited
for vehicle to transport material into factory and warehouses, and especially where there is chemical or explosive material. In vehicle construction, our engine permits a considerable reduction in weight as a result of its size and performance. We currently have a car of only 350 kilograms constructed with carbon fiber. The average car is 3 or 4 times heavier. So there is a considerable reduction in energy need to power such a vehicle. Our plan is to power many vehicles with the equivalent energy we currently use for one. Now, how we do that? Now, can you imagine the energy we currently use for one car? We can drive many vehicles in the future.
How many do you think?
How we do that? Well, look, the problem is that currently most of the energy we use, if you were to look at the petrol, it's actually used to drive the engine itself. It doesn't go anywhere else. Only drives the motor. 65, it drives the internal combustion engine. It's very, very inefficient. Then, of course, you need the gearbox, differential, and everything else. With that, which reduce, you know, you output live and feather to the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you get to the wheel, you get maximum 21% left. And of course, when you're there, you need to push a car that is 1.5 ton or more. And that's where the problem is. So with our system, because the engine is so powerful and the motor itself is so small and efficient, you know, when you open the bonnet, you don't see anything in it. There is nothing under the bonnet. The motor is right onto the wheel. Now, because you're taking so much weight out of the cars, the actual car, the chassis of the car, they can be minimized with the weight we currently have. What that means to the industry is that if they were to set up, they can sell the car, they will be able to make more money because they're putting less into a building account. They can make more money by doing the change. And of course, they can give the benefit to the end user too. And now, because it's a win at the manufacturer, also the end user, we will have the people that has nothing to do to become a winner also because of the environment situation we in at the moment. We can sort that out. I know we can. I know we can, especially America. I said to America, come on, let's do it. We can do it. It's not going to be just Angelo Di Pietro from Australia. There is many other people around the world that really can make the difference. We can put a few people together, and if there is one or two more other problems to solve, I'm sure there is no problem within. But the footing, we need to look that. The way I am now, even though I have proved the concept that is working and everything, we're still looking at the footing of a building as an example. We can't say how beautiful that is just by looking at the footing. We need to put that building up, and then we have a look. And then we will see the difference. Have a look with the vehicle or with the internal combustion engine. It was 100 years ago. Has gone quite far, but not many really important changes haven't been done to. You know, there is time now that we do something about it, and I'm putting so much into it. It's 5 o'clock now. I'm at the office. I don't mind because it's for a good cause.
5 a.m.
So, you know, and the other thing, you know, you know, we need to believe someone. You know, some people say something and some other people look at that person and say, what rubbish he's talking about. But, you know, people doesn't believe. And I have to actually get them here, the engineer, before they get excited about it. And I have done that. I have been able to convince big company. Well, there is company in USA already involved with Amount. They're working on a project. I cannot say who they are because of the non-disclosure agreement. There is this company in Italy. I have signed the agreement, and it's on the way to Italy. And I think the car is already on the way here. And so that is the carbon fiber car. Next interview, I will have no problem, I'm sure, of mention to you the name of the company and everything else, but I just need to get that contract back to me before it's all everything 100%. But I have been there, we have done our negotiation, they have approved of, I have signed the document, and the document being to the by post going to them. Now, also I've been in China, you know. You know, the company that I visit in China, they're selling 150,000 cars a year, which part of some of these cars, they are going to USA, and also they're selling 600,000 motor scooters. Now, I have the proposal already from them, and we are looking the proposal at this very time. And so, you know, we are going into the right direction, but it could even be going much faster. So what I'm saying, you know, if someone out there from USA, come on, let's get on with it. We're going to be doing the difference to the environment, and at the same time, we're going to make the money for you and everybody else that is involved.
Yeah. Now, I was asking earlier about would this technology work on an airplane for air traffic, for air cargo.
Yes.
So basically any presently existing motor engine system could be replaced with this system, which is much smaller, more efficient.
No. Because if we retrofit to existing vehicle, we stuck with so much. See what happens. The difference between a compressed air and petrol, the energy density between the two, it's a huge difference. Energy density into compressed air, it's not much at all. So really, we must forget about where the power comes from. The power is actually coming from the fuel, not so much from the engine. Now, because we got very little energy density into compressed air, how can we do the same thing? And to do the same thing, it's to reduce the weight of the cars. That's important. So if we were to retrofit, we would use too much air in a short time and won't really work for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So part of what makes your system feasible is that the weight of the vehicle can be reduced significantly because there's so much more power coming from such a more compact engine in the first place.
Yes.
And so you reduce the weight.
And it's so easy to understand. To make it easy for people to understand, I say things such as this. We have cars that they develop 200, 300, 400 and more horsepower. Now, the equivalent power of a horsepower, it's actually, that's the way they looked many years ago. The power of a horse, they measure this as to be one horsepower. Okay? So, it's like if someone has got a few hundred horse to drive with. Doesn't make sense. That's not efficient. That cannot be an efficient way to do. But then on the other end, when you look at people driving around, especially here in Australia, and I too, usually by myself into that car all the time. Now, what that means, you should be looking, if you were to look at the actual horse, rising with the person on, you are looking at one horsepower. And remember, that horse is actually has its own weight, and it's quite significant, this weight. And also, well, the traps only can do 2 or 3 minutes or so, but it will tie. But a lump of steel is different. It can take care of that stress. It can keep going all the time. So in our case, our engine, it can develop quite few horsepower. But if the vehicle is small, you don't need quite few. You need very little horsepower in order. That means, that if it's done correctly with the energy we use currently, we need to take care also of the wind loads as we're traveling and everything else. But, we can drive with that same energy many vehicles in the future.
Now, you have a lot of prototyping that you have done. How many, if we were to go to Australia and visit your facility, how many different working engine sizes and types do you have?
Well, what happens, we have only done one size, but that size of motor, we have put them into a boat. We have actually put them into a car, installed into a car, motor scooters, stationary application. Because we design motor, if you want to develop only 0.1 of horsepower, that's okay, you can do that. And, and if you want to develop many horsepower, you can do that also. It's just made of regulated compression. But then if you're starting to look about hundreds or thousands of horsepower, then of course you need either to enlarge them in diameter or in length. Whatever way you go, you will be able to increase the power.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a choice to go out in diameter in order to increase the size, or to make them longer, or even to have a multi-stage, one stack on the top of the other kind of thing.
Now let's talk about the vehicles you have kicking around your facility right now.
Yeah.
What kind of range are you getting from one tank of compressed air?
The three-wheeler, which is the vehicle for Melbourne markets, now that there has 100 liters tank at 3,000 PSI. The vehicle itself weighs 350 kilos, so that little vehicle is actually heavier than the cars. Now, with that vehicle there, we're doing 20 kilometers. But remember, that vehicle is made to drive into factory warehouses and so on. Now, with the cars, the situation would change because we would have cable systems, other techniques attached to. As we drive, increases the volume of air. So we actually introduce the air into the system, which is not really just the air, but it's also the temperature, which is within the atmosphere that we put into the system. And that's going to give us a considerable increase. And the other thing also, we have a heat storage. Now, that heat storage, it will, quadruple the volume at this stage, but in the future, we will have a better material for storage, and, we can go many, many times as much, we can actually increase that volume of air by many, many times in the future. But we should have no problem doing, 200, 300, 400 kilometers. The thing is, at the end of the day, everybody will look how much it costs the vehicle and how efficient it is. So if we're trying to get longer range, we will have to put additional air on board. And to put additional air, you actually have additional 8-cylinder too. And that costs money. So the best is, if we were to start with city vehicle kind of thing, where do you do, no more than, say, 100, 150 kilometers during the day, filling up, it's another problem. It only takes 2 minutes, 3 minutes. It's not like the battery that you stuck there for 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
See, the difference between the petrol and the battery also, it's a huge difference. For example, if you put a value, first of all, to recharge the battery takes a long time, and then you're looking for a toxic system. Right? Well, ours is 100% clean. But every 3 years or whatever, every 450 charges, you need to replace the battery. Well, with our system, it's 10,000 charges. That will last for a lifetime. But the good thing about our system also is that if you put a volume like as comparisons, if you put a volume of energy into the battery, say of $1, you would do with that $1 by using the same vehicle a distance. And now if you put a volume of $1 as compressed air into the cylinder, you will do the same distance. But if you were to look to do this, the same range again with the battery, you have to put another dollar in there. Well, with our system, if you store $1 of energy as heat, then you pass your air through that storage, you will multiply 10 times. So you can see now, not only we will be environmentally friendly, but it's, we will do 10 times as much energy with the same cost. And it's environmentally friendly. And if we are generating electricity or generated the compressed air in the first place, then it's even more environmentally friendly. What difference that's going to make?
Can this system be run backwards to make your compressed air?
Well, you can do that, but we actually trying to concentrate on only a few things to get going with, and then eventually later on, you know, everything else can be done also. But at this time, you know, we try and maintain everything as simple as possible.
So you've not optimized it or designed it to be an air compressor, but to
it can be. Yes, there is many people that they're working on their application and they've been asking me. Definitely, all you need to do is just have the non-return valves for the input and the other wire out for the output, and you got a compressor. So it's not much to do to have a compressor. But we actually have not done that, and we have not done any tests, so I won't be able to tell you the efficiency if that was used as compressor, what it would be the efficiency. But the efficiency of the model, I can tell you, because we have had one of the university in Melbourne that the test was done by them. And we got certification of the test, and at the time, that's in 2002, was 85%. But since then, we have improved that considerably. And in fact, in 2002, we were having great difficulty in achieving the range. Now, we do that. Back to Bice Vigo, they're ready to go. And the cab, yes, we got a little bit of hard work yet to do, but all you need to do is look the prototype that we already built, and all you have to do is just multiply, then you know where you're going to get with the car. Now, the difference between the Melbourne market trolley, the three-wheeler we're showing on our website and and on that TV program you watch it, that vehicle is 350 kilograms. Now the car is 350 kilograms. But on that vehicle, we only use one engine. In the car, we're going to use two engines. And the other thing that the two engines do, they eliminate the differential also. We don't need the differential in the car. What happens? You put one engine to one wheel and another engine to the other wheel, and the two, they actually are driving independently. But the air is fitted into the tube by one tube, and then through an intersection, it's got to each engine. So what happens? When you're steering, the inner wheel, it's always harder to turn, and the other wheel, it's easier. And the air always goes where there's less resistance. So as a result of, you're going to have your other wheel going as it should be going in order to help you to steering. And we have tested that. It works beautiful. Apart from the fact that the car is lighter anyway. So power steering is no need. Differential is no need. Radiator is no need. Gearbox is no need. Oil pump is no need. The pump itself is no need. The water is not needed. The water pump is not needed. So you're taking so much, it's not much left in there. And that's why I'm saying the change, it can make a huge difference to the end user, and the manufacturer can make more money on it. It's no problem.
Now, I would think that from a marketing point of view, the limited range at present would be a hamper.
I don't know that that is correct, because if you were to look at the battery, and when you run out with the battery, you're in trouble. With the air, we do 10 times as much. I correct that. With the air, we can be 10 times efficient, all right? And environment, and it's fast refilling. With the battery, you're stuck. When you run out, what do? Wait 8 hours before you get going? With the air, you fill up in 3 minutes. So it's a huge, huge advantage.
Well, and it does require...
If someone wants 400 kilometers or 500 kilometers, we can give them that. by having the cylinder that go up to 10,000 PSI instead of 3,000 PSI. There is cylinders there in USA at the moment, you know, that they go up to 10,000 PSI. Quantum, it's got them in USA.
Those are fairly
expensive. The only thing is will cost more, you know, for that type of cylinder. And so it will cost more to compress the air that high. And of course, because you do the distance, you're putting more on board in cylinder, and also even when you compress the air, will head in wide. So when you drive, you got extra wide with you. That will make the system less efficient also, because you're getting the extra wide with you.
You're assuming, though, that there's an infrastructure of gas stations that have air compressor hookups. And
it's already there. It's, you know, the system is in many places around the world. They are compressing natural gas at the moment. And I think they are compressing around the 3,000 PSI. Not 100% for sure there, but it's easily checked. I think it is around the 3,000 PSI. So the compressors, they are already there. In fact, I remember in one occasion, I have had an inquiry from Argentina, Buenos Aires, and this person, he has a bus company, and he has about 10 filling stations for his bus around the city there, and he was telling me that they already have the infrastructure there. That's another thing easily checked. It's in Argentina, Buenos Aires, maybe it's also in USA, anyway.
Yeah, there are some natural gas compressors around, but they're not nearly as ubiquitous and readily available as gas stations are right now.
Yeah.
And so that would be a hamper to the widespread implementation of a technology like this for vehicular
traffic. Well, no doubt that we got work to do, you know, mm-hmm. but we have no choice. That work needs to be done. You know, if we can keep going the way, but for how long we keep going the way we are. You know, look, I was in Italy and didn't look too good, but especially in China, it's unbelievable. I was in two occasions over there for 7 days. Each of the occasion, I didn't see the sun. I didn't see the sun at all because of the pollution. I remember one morning. I got up and was quite ill. It was quite late. I looked outside, and I thought it was the moon. And I'm looking. I said, "Gee, what's going on? You know, what's look different?" And I realized, "Hang on a minute. That is not the moon. That is the sun." Mm. Now, you know, this I saw with my own eyes. I had other people with me, and a young kid at the airport. He was vomiting because of. Been sick, and I was feeling sick also. So, you know, there is some places around the world, it's very, very bad already. And of course, we don't realize how bad it is where we are, because we used to. You know, we should just think how nice it would be if we would have had clean water and clean air. And with what we know these days, you have a look, our life has been prolonged. And yet we eat and we breathe the wrong thing. You know, we eat the wrong thing and we breathe the air that is so bad. So, you know, we'll be doing ourselves a huge favor, and because we leave a future for our kids there. Mm-hmm. And I have a huge interest on doing that because I do have grandkids already. And my life is not that much to go anyway. I'm 56. So, you know, really, you know, I am looking. I want to do everything correctly. Yes, I'm interested in the business sense to do correctly, and I have to do that for the interest of the shareholder, you know, people that have trusted me. I have an obligation towards that.
What about
you know, I'm 100% for the environment also.
What about other applications such as using your engine in place of a Stirling engine, like on a concentrated solar system where you...
100%, Mr. D'Allen, 100%. I have done some researches, and I've come across an electric plane in Italy that goes back maybe over 20 years. They are storing heat into salt. to generating electricity. Now, our system will work even better, all right? We can store heat into salt from the sun power, and, you know, and we will be able to run our engine with air or any other gas to generate electricity. And I really believe that we will be able to sell the electricity at a very, very good price as a result of the efficiency of the engine. Because up to now, they've been looking at where we sell the electricity for at the end. But if you were to look at our model, it's much, much more efficient than the turbine they have used up to now. Now you will soon realize. In fact, look, I did have people from USA showing interest and people from Australia in that kind of application. And also for desalination papers, especially here in Australia. I have had a visit from USA 2 weeks ago, and this person from USA, he has a special system to purified water, which is much more efficient. He has visited me in conjunction with other company, and they're going to build a plant not far from my office. The city is called Geelong. They're going to build a plant over there to desalinate water. And they've been looking at my mother for that. Mm-hmm. Now, the same people, just by chance, the same people that they have visited me from Melbourne, they also visited me a few months back showing interest on what I was doing. But apparently, it looks like now I know what they were looking at, and that is use the mother for desalination papers. Mm-hmm. Now you can use, you know, to do that also solar power or even wind power, whatever.
What about using your engine in a hydroelectric dam?
Yes, that's also, there is no problem with that. I don't see any problem there too. The only thing that I'm thinking of, you know, when you use liquids, you know, it might be difficult to get the RPM up. I'm not sure. I have not looked into that.
Mm-hmm. So the liquids are not as efficient as the gases going through.
I would say so, yeah.
Now, one question I have is in regards to the maintenance of the device. What kind of wear do you have on your engine?
Almost nothing. And see, the reason for that is, first of all, there is very little numbers of parts. And the parts that we have within the engine, they're all on air bearing. Air bearing means it doesn't touch the other part. So if it doesn't touch, it doesn't weigh. So, but you know, a lot of people, they have asked me, hang on a minute, but if you got a gap, that if it doesn't touch, you don't have a seal. No, we do have a seal. The only difference, the seal that we have, if I can make myself understood here, the seal that we use in our mother, it's actually the time. The time. Now, what that is, if you have a room that is full of air, and say that air to come out of the room, as you got a door, that air to come out of that room, and it's 1 minute to go out of that door. But if you now you open the door only for 0.002 of a second, or 0.004 of a second, you soon realize that the air going out of the door during that time is insignificant. So we actually made the decision not to use any seal at all. And that has worked better for us because it become more efficient and also there is no wasting. But there is a lot of techniques that we use that we can't actually talk about on radio. I cannot do that.
Mm-hmm.
But there is, you know, the most, you know, things that it makes people excited, you know, I can't talk about, which is very frustrating, but that's the way it is. So, you know, this is not a joke. We really have something here that it makes big difference to our world, and we should get on and do something about it. So, America, please, come and have a look. I have the engine to show. I have the vehicle to show. You can see the engine running. You can see the vehicle running. You can drive the vehicle.
There's another engine that is quite similar to yours. It's called a Star Rotor out of Texas. Are you familiar with that one?
No, I'm not. I have been doing a lot of research, but lately, you know, just too much in my hands, and so really I don't know, and even if I would have known, I would have not comment. One thing I should have known, and I will look into that, but we have done this always. Check on other people, otherwise it's not sense us working on. We need to be sure that our system is better than the other, otherwise we're wasting our time. And I have done that in the past. But, you know, is these people got certification from university or it's just a model? Are they know what is the efficiency? What is the size of the model? Are they driving vehicle as we do at the moment? What difference is making to the stationary application? You know, all of these things. So, you know, when you look at the size of the motor and the power and the efficiency, and we going back into the station application, and a company say decide to go ahead with this production, because the parts, they are so small, they are easier to build too. But when you finish with, you know, you can put many, many in a storage. And if you were to export, of course, you can put many in a container to be exported. And when it gets to this end user, you know, they don't have to have the crane to pick up the engine. They pick it up with their hand. So, and cost living on side, you know, the spice required to install it's less and everything else. It cannot be better than, you know, than the system we actually have. But, you know, I will not be surprised either. You know, there is many different ways to do things, and I'm sure there's, you know, at some stage I could be seeing things that are better than what we have. But up to now, you know, it was part of my job, make sure, investigating on every other system, and make sure that we are not wasting our time.
Now, the information I have on my website about your engine says that you are operating at close to 100% energy efficiency.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because, all right, I have proved for 85%, but at the time, okay, I can see the difference between 85 and 100, it's not much. All right, it's very close to 100 anyway. We are not climbing 100, it's below the 100, but we were getting very close there. But it's not just the model that makes possible what we're doing. It's something else outside the model that we do that make that possible in mobile application. Stationary application, of course, it's no problem there because you got the compressor supplying air all the time there. But in mobile application, you need to be as much as possible efficient. And then because we got the pressure into the cylinder, all right, we manipulate that high pressure in order to increase, and with our engine we can do. I give you an example, okay? If I have, say, 1 liter of air, and I will put that through my engine, I get out so much power. Then I say, okay, what can I do? Can I double up in power by using that same liter of air? What I can say to you, and I have no problem with that, is yes, I can. And if you were or anybody else would sign, and we're confident enough that we are dealing with the correct people, I have no problem to explain also how that happens. So we can actually double, if not triple or quadruple, the power going out of the motor by using the same volume of H.
Have you contemplated, I imagine you have, I'm curious, the concept of an onboard generator of some kind?
No, because what generator, you mean compressor.
Yeah.
When you say generator, you're talking about having a compressor.
A way to provide your compressed air on the fly.
Yeah, well, I don't believe, because, we're going to be heading things, and that changes the price when you go and buy a system. You got the compressor also to sell, because you got them on board. But must not forget that whatever we put onto the cars, we need energy to drive that around.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a compressor that we put in there, we're going to be carrying, and that changes the efficiency. We're looking very, very small amount of money, to drive around. At the ride that we buy the electricity here in Geneva, and we are smaller use of electricity, and the system that we currently got, and I mention again, the system, it's the three-wheeler from Urban Market Authority. Now, we do about 100 kilometers, right, with $2 of age. I think, that can come down considerably. And also, of course, it changes things if we were to have a system, as we were talking about before, with a solar power system. And use our model, which, it's much more efficient. But I give you an example. I'm going to talk a little bit about Melbourne Market Authority. They're currently using already 300 of them trolley with an internal combustion engine. Now, what happens? They're going to hand start these things. And because it's hard to hand start, they keep them going all the time. If they're talking, if they're loading, if they're unloading. All right? So that model runs all the time. And now, because of the pollution and everything else that is within the building, they're also going to have these huge exhaust fans all over the place into the building. So you're making pollution with that vehicle to start with, and then you make more with the fan and everything else. And it's unbearable in it. And all the pollution it causes gets onto the food and everything else. The change will make a huge difference, not just in that case, but also, factory warehouse where there is a danger of fire, explosive, but also where there is people around. Because with anything else, you get, pollution into the air.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about, in terms of the amount of pressure that is required to drive an engine, and the practicality in terms of the infrastructure required to get the compressors with the adequate amount of pressure to read?
Well, okay. The engine, the high motor requires less than 1 psi. In fact, if I set the pressure just about zero, somewhere in between zero and 1 psi, and I have the valve closed, when I open the valve, the pressure does actually drop further down. But we got a flaw in me. Barely indicates any pressure at all, and I would do a few hundred RPM. That's an excess and shows that there is very little resistance, very little friction into the engine.
Mm-hmm.
So anything else about that we put in, it will be transformed into work. Now, if the system, it's working into stationary application, we don't have to compress the air to 100, 150 psi. There is no need for that. Because if we don't do that, we will use less energy to do the work. So we can use maybe blower instead, somewhere around, say, 5, 10 psi. That would be enough. And if you require more power, you always can increase the size of the engine in order to increase the area to get that torque that you require.
The question I was going to ask is, there are existing in most service stations in America an air compressor for filling tires.
No, not for stationary application. No, that will not be enough. See, that then compresses. They only go up to maximum 300 psi, 150, and some of them 300. We look in at 3,000 psi minimum, and then if we have application where the range say it's not enough, we will have to increase to maybe 5, if not 10,000 psi. Mm-hmm. But no more than 5, it's preferable for us to use. But wherever it's necessary, it's no problem, because the technology is already out there for that kind of pressure. Okay. On both wise, either by on the cylinders, then the compressors.
What about
but definitely not that type of compressor will not be suitable. That type of compressor is no problem for stationary application, yes, but not for mobile application.
Mm-hmm. What about for a factor of safety? If you had a vehicle and the air tank was punctured in an accident, what would happen?
Sorry, Alan, you have to repeat that again.
I'm asking a question that regards safety. If you were in a vehicle that was being run on compressed air and the tank was punctured in an accident, what kind of ramifications would there be? Would there be an explosion? Would it...
The cylinder, if you look the safety data onto the cylinder, you will be very comfortable with, especially the carbon fiber cylinder. They specially been designed that the cylinder will not explode; it will just leak. So it will crack longwise and will just leak. And they have built millions of them already. And no, it's no problem at all. But then again, you want to keep reminding yourself. They're compressing the gas at the same pressure too, and that's I consider that to be more dangerous than the air is, because they not only you get the explosion, but you get the fire too.
Right, you're talking natural gas compression.
Natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
According to the size data of the manufacturer, there is no problem at all. And remember, this is not something new. Compressed air has been into vehicle for many, many years. People drive around at 100 more kilometers with the compressed cylinder into the cars. I have done that. And, look at the diving cylinders, industrial cylinders, medical cylinders, cylinder into aeroplanes and so on. Have looked the one coming up, come down from the space shuttle, remember. This spice shuttle, round cylinder, when we had the disaster, I can't remember the name of the shuttle now, but, the cylinder, it come up, come down from the sky. I remember I watched on TV and, it was still intact. The only thing intact maybe that it was still there.
Mm-hmm.
They're extremely, extremely strong, this type of cylinders.
Okay.
And of course, the company, they're a very large company. That's what they're doing. And, they have invested maybe billions into get this this cylinder out correctly. But it's everything that you need to know, it's there anyway. And I know that I have looked at that a few years ago, because I was asking myself exactly the same question. Because, you don't want to get a drill and go there and drill into the thing. And, that's why we look at competency certificate to give to people when the vehicle, it's a kind of license, but not quite a license, just for people to spend 10 minutes and say, you don't not drill into the cylinder. You don't not touch that. That's the why you fill up. That's it. Now, someone to drive the vehicle has to lean. That's just a precaution to make sure that nothing happens, that it should not happen. And remember one other thing too, Alan. I really think that if we're moving from steel to carbon fiber, it's going to make a big difference to the person inside the car too. Usually, you know, with steel, when you get a crash, you know, everything crashes and stays there, and you're locked in there. You're now waiting for the fire brigade to come and cut you out, and that's where the critical point is. If you look more than material that is not only strong, but springs back also after you're involved in that, in impact, things like that, it's going to be everything better for us. Every technology, every new technology that you see, is always better than the one that was built previously.
Right. Well, Angela, I really appreciate your time. We are out of the time here today for our interview. Is there anything you would like to, final words you'd like to put across?
I appreciate you interviewing me and your listener listen to this. I like to say again, come on, America. We can do. You can do.
You have been in the moon
already, so many years ago. We can do that easily. Let's get on with it. Thank you so much, Alan.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.